We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus coming into your homes by the way of computer. We pray that God has blessed you in the days gone by, and we just pray that God will continue his blessings with you. There's a lot of things happening around the world in the events that are taking place. It shows us, my friend, that the time of the coming of our Lord and Savior is nearer than when we first believed. All the things that are happening in the world today is just a fulfillment of that which was wrote in the Bible. And even Jesus, when he walked among man as man, he told us of the things that would come to pass before his return. So we're looking at the events that has been put down on in the direction that we should go in, and wrote in the word of God that whereby that we should know by these things and these signs that the time is nigh at hand. So them that call upon the name of the Lord and have let him come into their life and been born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting that name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, being the Lord God of creation, come in the flesh to die for sinners such as we. We believe that you should look up and rejoice, for the time of the refreshing is upon us. The time of the end is here. We need to rejoice, for we know that our redemption is drawing nigh. So as we thank God for this opportunity to come into your home, we pray that the blessings of God be with them that will call upon his name, and those that don't know you, I wish too that you would come to know him as your personal Savior before it's eternally too late. As it was in the days of Noah, the door stayed open 7 days more of grace. But when God shut the door, there was no more opportunity to get into the ark. So my friend, when God says it's enough and the time of the end has come upon us and no one goes and the church is taken up, there's no other opportunity given unto man. The day of grace will be ended and the end will come. So it's time that we begin to rejoice in the Spirit, looking unto our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and calling upon him and accepting him. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's many things that could take a life from off of the face of the earth. It's just many things that can happen, not having the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. So while that you can, you need to seek after the kingdom of God by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus and repenting of your sins, and let him come into your life and direct you in the way of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. So as we pray one for another, that God will help you and give you an understanding and a heart to receive and to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give him your problems, help, and let him help you and bring you into the place to wherein you can have salvation for your soul. And when the time comes that Jesus will appear, you can be prepared to meet him as one of his children. So as we pray, let's pray one for another, for our men and women in the wars, and our firemen, our policemen, and all them on the front line of there. We just pray that put their way, themselves in harm's way for the benefit of others. And we just pray that you would pray with us, that God would bless them and help them in all these here ways. And we just give God the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Father God, as we come before you at this time, we give you the honor and the glory for the opportunity that we can get by the airways that you're provided for us through computers and these matters of communication. We just pray, God, that you would richly bless those that would listen, and them that have an ear to hear, that the heart will receive the engrafted word of God, that they may come to thee in true worship, giving thee praise and honor, that your name be glorified and lifted up and exalted above all things. We thank you for the opportunity. We give you praise for all things and in all things. We thank you for this day that you have made and allowing us to do this for the kingdom of God. We pray for those that are in the wars and the men and women that are in these frontline defense, Lord. We just pray, praying, Lord, that you would help us nation, that it will turn back to you and giving praise unto thee and repent of their sinful ways before it's eternally too late. And whatsoever is accomplished, Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. My wife's got something other here for you. So just listen and give God the opportunity to speak to your heart through what we may have to read, and that you would listen and let God talk to you before it's everlasting too late. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, praise the Lord. I just appreciate the Lord this afternoon, and well, anytime during the day. I shouldn't just say the afternoon. But this is a beautiful day that the Lord has made. It may be bad weather where you are, but you woke up this morning and you put your feet on the floor and you was opening your eyes and looked around and you heard the birds sing and everything, and you say, thank God you gave me another day. And I do that every morning. It may be to some the repetition, but God knows that I feel it in my heart, and I go out there and feed the birds, and they're all singing, waiting for my breakfast. And, oh, I love them. I love God's creation. But I want to share with you this afternoon what's happening to America. Almost anyone you meet can recall exactly where they were when news came about the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers. In outrage, we witnessed sights we never thought would happen in the great United States. Our sense of security here was shattered about as fast as those great world icons fell to the ground. Where was God in this terrible tragedy that took so many lives of hard-working citizens, firefighters, and rescuers? There is the argument that God will not go on protecting a nation that persists in its defiance against him. Does that mean everyone in these tragedies deserved to die? How do we reconcile with the Bible's declaration over and over that God loves us? We have these urgent questions, and we look to our faith and our friends for answers. Yet after all is said, we can only admit, for now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And at 1 Corinthians 13:12, we need some shred of reason and justice in it all. Why doesn't God do something about evil and violence? He could have wiped out rebellion when it first appeared in his universe, but then people would serve him out of fear. God wants only willing and intelligent alliance to him. He has allowed this experience with lawlessness and domination to prove what a failure it is and what misery is created. When those who have power and means oppress and manipulate the citizens of their nation. But prophecy tells us that time is up. God is going to bring this to a conclusion. We need to be ready. The prophecies in the book of Daniel and Revelation were given to outline plans to defeat God's people in the end time. They reveal the succession of nations through history, describe world rulers, crooked politics, and dishonest organizations, even into our present time. It is so important not to be deceived into choosing the wrong side and becoming one of the lost to the end in Revelation 20:14. God is withdrawing his protection from the world. Here's a good question for you. Do you think that Satan and world leaders through which he works will just humbly bow aside while Christ comes back to do away with their evil plans of domination? Certainly not. So afraid are we of any hint of a conspiracy theory that we remain pridefully ignorant of the plans that any dictator or world ruler would do to protect this domain when threatened. Just read any history book if you doubt this. The recent accounts of unimaginable greed and fraud perpetrated by stealthy politicians and the financial elite should make us angry enough to sit up and smell the coffee. Decisions by the government to seem harmful and absurd are not someone's poor judgment, not just your imagination. They make sense to those who are not friends of America, of God. Bible prophecy repeatedly tells of our religio-political power in the last days with its vast monies and international prestige that will take control in our modern times. You need to know how this works. It is clearly defined in the books of Revelations and Daniel. America and the world are going to become religious again. In the 50s and 60s, religious was not discussed in the main media. Science was going to be the great answer to everything. Now religion is everywhere, which is just fine if it means less crime, divorce, and violence. But history also taught us that religion applied through the government becomes tyrannical. According to the countdown of prophecy, conditions are going to get so bad with the natural disasters, political mismanagement, and war among nations that the world's people will ask the Vatican to take over as a last resort. From nearly defeated in the early 19th century to becoming almost a world power itself in our times, it is rapidly fulfilling this prophecy before our very eyes. Have you noticed how political, powerful, and popular the Pope has become just in recent times? But it will be a terrible mistake. The Vatican will require all to obey its dictates as opposed to the way of God. Everyone will have to take a stand, whether they will be on the side of the Vatican or on the side of God. But God is going to win. He wants you to choose his side, too. God has a hard time getting us to pay attention. We work hard, play hard, cram a million things into a week and weekends, and we aren't seeing the train coming around the corner. How can he wake us up except by shocking us into it? Sometimes we just shut out the bad news all around because we feel helpless to do anything about it, but you can do something about your relationship with God. He does respond to you in person. He wants you to be saved. God has not left us without information on his awesome return. The books of Daniel and Revelation tell us in surprising detail how events will take shape in these final days. The strange beasts of the prophecies are not Bible sci-fi. They aren't meant to be cartoons. They are serious visions, symbolic of nations which arise to power through history, right down to our modern times. The seas represent people. The stars represent important rulers. The Bible itself tells you what the symbols mean. It isn't left to your imagination. You can prove everything as you go. This is God's 9/11 call to you. Will you answer it, or are you going to turn him down? Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But if you look in your red letters, Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. And that's in the red letters. If you'd like to help us on the broadcast, it'd be appreciated. You can mail it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. But more important, we would like to hear from you in an email at ecompton31@yahoo.com or sallygcp4@yahoo.com. May the Lord bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes. We got to realize, my friend, that these days that we're living in is crucial times, or as the scripture said, perilous times, and that they're here. And there's no way of getting around it, but we need to be prepared for the coming of our Lord. We need to understand that God is on the throne and he has control over these things, but he left us with a legacy and with some information, you might say, that would allow us to know that he's displeased with a lot of things that are happening in our world today, and that he's going to judge the unrighteous with a serious judgment, and he's going to cast all of the ungodliness and these things that are unrighteous into a pit of hell. You got to believe that, because that's what the Word of God says. I didn't write the book. My friend, it was wrote by the men of old as the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, led them to write unto you and I. And it's a guideline that God sent unto you and I that we could go by, knowingly what he desires for us, knowing that what he is going to do to the sinner and the ungodly. We see all these things and the events are taking place. Our Justice Department is just as fraudulent as they can be. They uphold the sinful nature of the people of the world, and they're just letting go of all the rules and the regulations that our nation was founded upon, and giving over to seducing spirits and giving all these privileges to these people that are ungodly and do not call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that some of them said, oh, this is the way that God would have me to do, and he made me this way, and all these lies that have been put into their hearts by the devil himself, and their mind is depraved, and their hearts are evil, even for everything that they do. My friend, today, if we would take time to read the scriptures, as I have often said, read your Bible and see what God has to say about the things that our government and the Justice Department today in most of the states and all around the world is sanctioning this homosexual type of move, at men marrying men and women marrying women. And they say, well, this is the way God made me. I want you to know that that is a lie out of hell, and the devil is the father of it. And all of them that go with this is liars, and the truth is not in them. Because the Bible says in Genesis, the second chapter, that he gave names, Adam, he created him in his own image, and he gave all the cattle of the field, the fish, and all these things their own name. Whatever Adam called them, that's what they are. But during all this time, Adam found no helpmate for himself. He didn't have a mate that would comparison to him and what he needed. So God said it's not good for man to live alone. So he put Adam in a deep sleep, the first operation that was ever performed. He put Adam in a deep sleep and removed a rib from his side. And therefore, he made the woman from the rib. He didn't take her out of his head, his backbone, or his foot, or his hand, or whatever, but he took them out of his side. They were supposed to be under his arm of protection. He didn't make the woman to be the head of the man, but he made the man the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of the church. And when God brought Eve to the woman to Adam, he said, woman, he called her woman, and he said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and he called her a woman. And Adam taken her for his helpmeet, not to dominate her, not to abuse her, not to mistreat her or anything, but he taken her as his helpmeet. And that's what God wanted the woman to be, as a helpmate to the man. And the man was supposed to be the head of the woman. Now, my friend, when he told them there to go and multiply, there's no way that they can justify these men and men cohabitating together in the form of marriage, or a woman and woman coming together as marriage, to where they can multiply and reproduce. It's just utterly impossible. Right. So God has looked down upon this, as he did in the days of Noah. All these things was going on then, and in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the things of the world was going about then, and people had fellowship with these kind of things. But Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, are the only one that found grace in the sight of God. Eight souls, mind you, out of all of the creation. I don't know how many people that was on the face of the earth at that time. I don't guess no one does. It doesn't say, but nevertheless, they found grace in the sight of God. God counted them to be worthy. So he told Noah to build an ark. Oh, my friend, today, read your Bible and listen to what God has to say out of the written letter. When the ark was being built for 120 years, Noah told the people that there were going to come a flood. Well, it never rained before. Noah, you are crazy. Where are you going to float your boat, Noah? The creek ain't big enough. But Noah kept on working. Honey, it's just like the people of today saying, where is the coming? What, since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they are. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, the time is upon us. The end is near, and the redemption of our souls, of those that are pleasing to God, is drawing nigh to the close, and they'll be taken away from all these here troubles of this world. But them that fear God will be caught up together with him. But them that are walking in the lust of their own flesh, the pride of life, committing adultery and sin, and all these things that are against God's spirit and against his word, is going to fall into damnation. And God said he would do this, and to them that have pleasure with him. So these judges that went out and made rules that, hey, it's okay to be man and band, we're going to give them the same privileges that any man and woman has. We're going to make everything right for them because, hey, election coming up and we want all their votes. But they find favor with them. God said they're worthy of death, as them that commit them kind of things is going to be worthy of death. And all them that there takes a part with them and have favor with them. My friend, it's a shame that our government and our people of the world today has got to where they can sanction something other like that. I can't believe that the judges and everything believes that this is right, but they're sanctioning it. Our states are going around, and they're all multiplying these things, and it's all in it. But listen to me. Jesus told them, the apostles there in the Matthew, that he said, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There was sin running rampant in Noah's day, and Sodom and Gomorrah was full of this homosexual business. And even to when the angels smote them blind, they still groped to try to get to the angels of God. And Lot and his two daughters was the only one that got out, because like so many people, Lot's wife had to look back. And so many people are looking back today, and they're not becoming a pillar of salt, but she did. But nevertheless, they're looking back upon the things of this world, like the children of Israel did in the days when God led them out of Egypt's bondage. They desired to go back to Egypt, where the leeks and the garlic was, and therefore, or they murmured and grumbled about it. But God destroyed about 3,000 of them for their mumbling and grumbling. It's a shame that he hadn't done some of that today, but he will. And the time is coming nigh that he's going to put all of that down. He's going to destroy the wicked and the ungodliness. And he's going to grab Lucifer, the old devil himself, and put him in the pit and fasten him up forever, eternity. Now, the devil knows his time is allotted. He knows that it's drawing nigh. So he's on the prowl, day and night, 24/7, with everything that he can muster out, all kinds of things, to deprive people of the service of God, but to bring them in, to fool them into all these things. That's where you got all this here mess from. He's deceiving the people by the way of making it sound so good, and our politicians are just about as crooked as he is, and they're coming along and going along with these things that are of the world and of the things that was displeasing to God. Oh, they've done it all the time. The scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to have all their wealth, and they desired high seats. Well, that's the way our Congress is. They desire to be in these high seats, so they'll sanction anything to get the vote to put them where they want to be. But my friend, when it comes time to, when God puts his, cast his vote in on the sinner and the ungodly, they're going to come up wanted, but it's going to be too late when they cry out, because God's got a time and a set and a day set that when he's going to judge the world and all of the ungodliness, and he's going to take it all and cast it into hell, along with all the rest of the unbelieving, and all sin is going to be cast down. So God made man in his own image. He made woman from the man. He didn't make Adam and Steve, but he made Adam and Eve. My friend, you cannot get babies from a man and a man. There's got to be two there. Everything that God created, he created a male and a female where it would reproduce. These people are going around, and this is the way God made me, and I'm a Christian, is a lie. And the devil's the father of it, and is their father. My friend, today it's time we take a stand for the grace of God and for his truth, and quit giving in to these people. And these people that's going to vote for these things and everything and uphold them, we need to quit voting for them. Fact of business, we need to quit voting, period, because they ain't paying no attention to the Christian walk of life. They're looking unto the sinner and the ungodly for their praise and worship. And that's where it's going today. Them that have fellowship, them that enjoy this kind of lifestyle, is going to go down into defeat. Now, you can believe me or believe me not, but read your Bible. And if you believe that there is a God, you believe what he has to say, then you'll see what I'm telling you is true. Not only I, but others have preached you the same thing. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Read your word. Listen to what God has to say. Listen to your heart tell you the rights and the wrongs. The world is full of evil. It's getting worse all the time. Now, where do you want to spend eternity? You want to spend eternity in hell being punished like the rich man that was there, looked up and seen a Lazarus, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom? But he was in torment, and he said, just let Lazarus come, and he might touch his finger in the water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Or do you want to be ushered into the kingdom of God, to where there be peace, joy, love, and forevermore? It's up to you. It's your decision, like it is mine. I choose to serve the Lord. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel, because it's power unto salvation, and that's what we have. Jesus, God himself, put on the robe of flesh and came down here and took yours and my place on Calvary's cross, nailing our sins, buried them and nailed them to the cross, and he took on him yours and my iniquities, and therefore it made his blood made a remission of our sins. And if you trample that blood continually under your feet and consider it to be nothing, no more than just nothing, then when you come to face to face with God and your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life and the blood of Jesus have not cleansed you from your sinful nature, then, my friend, you're going to go down into hell with the devil and all the rest of them that forgot God. Oh, listen to me, my friend. I plead with you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, come to him today. If you come to him with open heart, believing and trusting in him, calling upon his name for salvation, repenting of your sins, he will nowise cast you out according to his word. And I believe it. He didn't mean, I'm not like Paul. I wasn't the chiefest of sinners. Paul made that statement that he was, and God forgave him. And I know that you can't qualify in the same thing, or maybe you might think you do, but Paul was a man that sought after to destroy them that called upon the name of the Lord. And there's a lot of them today that has done that same thing. But their faith is going to be in the domains of hell except they repent. Paul repented, or Saul rather, he repented and he become Paul. He repented after he come face to face on the road to Damascus. He realized that what he was doing was wrong. He thought he was right, but he was wrong all the time. He kept the law, but the law can't save you, my friend. It takes the grace of God through his shed blood and faith in Jesus Christ to bring salvation. Paul found that out. He didn't go down there to the house somewhere or another where a bunch of men had got together and made up a bunch of rules and regulations of what to preach and what not to preach. But he went out into Arabia there, out into the wilderness there, and he called upon the Lord. He was there with him, and God gave him the revelation of what is and what ain't about the salvation of the soul of man. And he put it in writing that you and I would have it as a guideline if we'll follow into it, that we might receive the salvation for our soul as he did, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, today it's time we take heed to the word of God. Don't be carried away by every wind of doctrine. There's false prophets out here, and they're standing behind pulpits. These here churches that call themselves homosexual churches or gay churches and everything, that they're saved and they all this, and some of them goes and they claim that they got the Holy Ghost, and it's a lie out of hell. But if you go associate with them, the devil will let you feel something other. He'll make you think it's right. But God's people, truly born again, God's people knows the difference, my friend. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So when they come to me with that kind of stuff, I just pass it off and say, you better check on what kind of spirit you got if you think that is right. My friend, it's very obvious. The Holy Ghost ain't gonna lead you and guide you into the wrong place, but he'll bring you out from amongst the world and be you therefore separated, thus saith the Lord, and he will receive you. That's a part of the world. It's a part of destruction that God died to save you from, but he's not gonna save you in it. But he said, except you repent, you will in likewise die. Your soul will be forfeited. As Esau sold his birthright out for a bowl of porridge, and therefore, and he lost out. He sought after it faithfully, but he couldn't find no place of repentance. And the people today are selling their birthright out for the world and all of these joy places that they think is so joyful feeling to fulfill the lust of the flesh. All of these games and all these other stuff that goes on around to draw you away from God, it's an invention that the devil brought up and put it into the minds of the people, and they think it's such joy, it pleases the flesh. But my friend, when it comes time to stand before God and you give an answer for all that you've done, good or bad, and when you look down there and he sees your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't care what you say or what you're doing, it's going to be too late. The Bible says that there be many on that day will say, Lord, we cast out devils, healed the sick, and everything in your name. But he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Because of the false teachings and false doctrine. There's denominations saying that you can't go to heaven unless you belong to this certain place and all that. And that's a lie. Out of the belly of hell, and the devil's the father of it. My friend, we've got to belong to Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for you, not the denominations. These places where people have thrown up these here names of this and names of that and claims this and claims that. When the veil of the temple was rent and that was separated the Jewish people from the Gentiles, God tore it down and made it possible that we all be likewise and joined together in the kingdom of God. And there made one twain, there one place, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're all baptized into one body. Not no three or four, or not no whatever else that they can come up with, but it's Jesus Christ and him crucified is what's going to make the difference. It's calling upon the name of the Lord with repentance, believing and trusting in him. It's going to bring salvation to your soul. It's not going to be the denomination. I don't know. They all claim they're trying to get to heaven, But there ain't but one way, one road into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And no man cometh unto me except the Spirit draweth him. My friend, denominations is all good and well in a sense of way to please the flesh, but it may cause you to lose your soul if you go with their teachings and their doctrines. The Bible plainly says that God was manifested in the flesh, came in this world and died for sinners such as you and I. We don't have to die and be cast into hell. We can call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, and we can be saved. We can meet the Lord at his coming, and we raptured out. Or if you sleep in the dust of the earth, you can rise out. Leave all the aches and pains and the sickness in the hole in the ground, but your body will be with the Lord for eternity. Likewise, them that remain to be alive. But my friend, you can't do it except you repent. Except you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing in him and trusting in him. Read the first chapter of John and run the references back on it. Find out that God was sovereign. There's only one God, one Lord and one Master over it all, one Lord and Father of us all, and in us all and through us all. My friend, there's no three or four or twin or whatever. There's only one God. That man over there in Italy can't save you as he claims he can. He's not God on earth. He's a man like you and I. He's full of the devil as such as many other sinners. When he goes to place himself there and consider that he himself is to be a prince of this world or the God of this world, he may be the God of this world because the devil is his daddy. And I want you to understand, my friend, that there's only one way into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. Why do you seek after some other way? They tell me that they can commit a sin and go to the priest and tell him, and he'll say so many Hail Marys, and your sins be. Mary ain't got a thing to do with it, my friend. She birthed the man called Jesus. He come from her womb, but it was the word of God spoke in her womb, and it was by a miracle of God. Man had nothing to do with it, and little Mary was just a little Jew girl that God seen, and it was out of the lineage of David, which where kings come from, and he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's going to sit up on the throne of David forever, my friend, and he himself is the only one that can forgive you of your sins. Mary has nothing to do with it. She served her purpose in her day, and she came. She brought forth the Lamb of God. The devil was there trying to destroy him by the time he was born, and Herod tried to kill them all because he didn't want somebody to come and jeopardize his kingship. But I'm telling you, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no man's going to take his place, but he's going to take the place of all of this ungodliness and all of these things. He's going to put it down, and he's going to bring forth salvation, and he's going to bring it forth in such a way that the world's going to know that he is God and him alone, that there's no other. I want you to think about it, my friend. He looked down and he said, there's no other God. No, I know of no other God. There, and Isaiah's writing there. I want you to think about it, my friend. Why, I encourage you to read your Bible. Study it and look at to it. Let God direct your path. Call upon the name of the Lord for the understanding of it. He'll give you the light of it. He'll help you with it if you'll ask him faithfully and be willingly to be obedient to his calling and listen to his word when he has wrote it there for your purpose. It's not for his, but it's for yours, because it's not for his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he had it wrote into the book that wherein that he would be the one that could bring forth salvation, and that he alone can forgive you of your sins. His blood paid the atoning price. Not mine, not yours, or somebody else. The Pope didn't die for you. There'd been too many of them sitting up there, and everything is put in office by other men that probably just as sinful nature as they are. They haven't repented, and when they go to calling upon other things, having all of their gods being this, and they're going to make somebody a saint after so many years, he got to perform and prove that he made so many miracles and they declare him to be a saint. My friend, God calls all of his children born again. He calls them all saints already. So before all them got to be saints, if you've been born again and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, there when John was writing in the book of Revelations, there when he seen the souls of the saints up under the altar, he asked them, who's that? He said, them are the ones that are waiting. They was crying out, how long, holy and true, will thou not revenge our blood from them upon the earth? He gave them a white robe, my friends, and it said, there for them to wait a little while until the rest of the brethren may be killed like they were. Oh, friend, listen to me. The word of God will explain it to you better than I can have the time to put it all in words. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Read your Bible. See what it says. Believe and trust in it. Ask in the Lord to give you the understanding of it. He'll help you with it as he did me and others that call upon his name. But listen, the time is running short. The day of salvation is coming up, and the time is now at hand. We need to go and look into the scriptures and find out where we are at today. We're living in the last days. The time is coming nigh upon us. All the signs that Jesus spoke about is already being fulfilled. And doesn't seem to me like there's much more to be done that before the Lord comes. We see all the signs and the stars, the heavens above, and all the earth and beneath, and all these things that are happening, the earthquakes and wars and the rumors of wars. Look at what they're doing in Egypt and all the other places around, kingdoms against kingdoms, people against people. Oh, my friend, listen to me. The days is upon us. Perilous times are here. You never know. When people just ride down the road, walking down the road, minding their own business, and somebody rides by in a car and shoots them and kills them, and you don't think that's perilous times? Oh, listen to me. The time have come to be lawlessness. It's running rapid over the world. When we look at on the news and everything, we see these young men going in and stealing and killing people to get their whatever it is they want, drugs, beer or whatever, stealing and all kinds of things. And you tell me that all these things are just regular supposed to be? No, my friend, it's because sin. The devil is out as a roaring lion. And all of them that would listen to him and obey him, he'll lead him in the road of destruction and bring him down into the pits of hell with him. He knows his time is short. He knows that he's running out. And he wants to deceive and carry as many of God's people into the hell with him. He wants to, the created man that God made in his own image, he come to destroy. That's what his goal is, to destroy God's creation. Oh, my friend, listen, don't let him tell you that, oh, this is what you need to do and that's what you need to do. Listen. Jesus said we need to repent. Peter said, repent, every one of you. When the men of that day asked him, what shall we do? He said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, it's time we begin to wake up to realize that the time of the end is upon us. We need to start calling upon the name of the Lord and looking up, for the redemption of the soul of man is drawing nigh, but only them that are prepared to go is going to meet him in peace. The rest of them is going to go down in defeat. As it was with the 10 virgins, they were all virgins. but five of them was wise. They kept plenty of oil, kept prayed up, reading in the Word of God, listening for that sound of the bridegroom to come. And they was all waiting upon the return. But when they arose, the sound come forth, and they arose and trimmed their lights. Five of them found out that their oil was leaked out, and they couldn't light the lights. They wanted to borrow some, but they said, no, not so, but go to them that sell it. My friend, you can't buy this salvation. It was freely given, and all you got to do is repent and keep your prayer life prayed up, studying and reading in the Word of God, that whereby that you can keep with Him. And I want you to know that God will preserve you in the end and bring you faithfully through all of the tribulations that you yet to come upon this land. Oh, my friend, listen, it's time we begin to call upon the name of the Lord. My wife spoke something about the towers. Oh, when the towers was blowed down, everybody was going around with the head down, kicking the dirt and praying, and everyone said, God bless America, God bless America. What happened? You go to sleep, God's still there, He's still on the throne, but most of you going and bringing forth, and they were selling us short, bringing forth and making laws and rules and regulations in the back room, that where all the sinful things, it can be brought out, and they'll push down. They were trying to take the Ten Commandments out of every place. They're trying to do away with God. They won't let the children pray in school, and they won't do this for the glory of God. But anything else you want to do, it's all right. The judges made rules. The Supreme Court said it's all right for a man and a man to get married and give them the same rights that a man and a woman has. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to look up. Time is running out. As it was in the days of Noe, and in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're looking at all these things that it was spoken about and wrote in the Bible of being fulfilled. And you tell me that you think that you got eons of time? You ain't got the promise of tomorrow no more so than I have. If I see the sun rise tomorrow, I'll thank God for another day, because it's a one day at a time event. And you can't make plans for next year on your vacation and really think that you can be there. If you are, you're fooling yourself. You might make the plans, and perhaps maybe it might come to be. But next day, if you don't wake up, all your plans you made for next year is done gone. There's no plan. My friend, we need to plan to get our hearts right with the Lord, calling upon Him, and repenting of the things that your sinful nature, and letting God come into your life. And therefore, that when that sound of the trumpet come, your light will be bright, and you can go to meet the Lord and go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's up to you. I can't make you do it. God ain't going to make you do it. The only difference between me making you do it, when you fall into the pits of hell, you'll wish you had a done it. But it'll be too late. The rich man didn't get out of hell. And them people that's going around teaching these people that they killed somebody or some of their enemies, the infidel as they call us, and they'll give us seven virgins and a river of honey. That devil has deceived a lot of people, and a lot of people is kicking in hell. But now, if it were possible that some of them other people could see further than the end of their nose and this thing that they got going on, and see that them people teaching them all this stuff, they're not strapping on bombs and going down there to killing people. They got more sense. But them others are being deceived, and that's what the Bible says, that there would come deceiving and being deceived in the days of the last days, and that's where we at today. Them people are going there and thinking that Allah's going to bring them into the place of virgins and rivers of honey. It's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. When they get into hell, when they kill somebody, then themselves too, they're going to reap the whirlwind. And the whirlwind's going to suck them right down into hell, along with the devil and all of his angels that he's got there. Oh, listen, my friend, read your Bible. Let me plead with you. read your Bible. See what it tells you about these things that are happening today. We see these solar flares coming out from the sun. These people over in NASA, there and around the places where they study these things, said if they start to come towards the earth, it's going to wipe out all these things. My friend, that big city that they're building up there, floating around in the heavens, it's going to come down one of these days. God's going to bring it down. He's going to clean up his heavens up there and the stratosphere and all that. There's no man going to be able to get up there and survive, as some of them people might think. They think they're going to go find another world out there somewhere and escape the things upon this land that's coming up on this land. It ain't going to happen, my friend. It's going to come a time that God's going to say, that's enough, and it's going to be the end. And them that are not prepared to go is going to be lost. Them that are prepared to go, then he'll take them with him. But I want you to think about it, my friend, that God, in all of his wisdom and understanding, with all his greatness of his love, loved mankind, but he does not love the sinful nature that they mostly of them are in. He loves the man, his creation, but he don't love sin. And he's not going to save you in your sins. He came to save you from your sins. But if you're in sin when he comes, you're not going to be carried away with the bride of Christ. You will die and in your sins, according to the scriptures. So it's about time we begin to realize that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Our time is just about gone, but we just pray that God will touch your life, my friend. Oh, and just in some way that you would let him come into your life and read your Bible and look into the things that were in that he is speaking to you about in his word, and believe on him, calling upon the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul, that you reap not the whirlwind, but you'll reap the blessings of God. Our only hope is in Christ Jesus. You can't make it without him. Now, he can go on without you or I one, but you and I, we need him. We can't save ourselves. There's no way. If it could have been possible that we could have saved ourselves, then it would have been no need of him coming to die. He would have just give us some instruction. But as near as you can come to saving yourself is to repent of your sins, turn about face from the sinful nature, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and trusting in him and giving him your life, and let him come into your life and rule and reign and teach you what you need to do. That's as near as you can come, as near as I can come, is you first got to repent. Raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're on your way to glory, and you're walking the same old road you've been walking all the time, and you're walking on that Jericho road, you're still going to wind up in Jericho in a place of defeat. Repenting with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord, believing and trusting in him, is the only way that God's going to receive you. So as we look to thee, look to the Lord at this time, we pray that God will bless you, our friends, and may him keep you, and hopefully that take time for Jesus will be on your list, and we'll come into your homes again another day, and we just give God praise and honor. Hopefully that you will come to know him as your personal Savior. If you don't, then you might receive the blessings of salvation. Those of you that know him as your personal Savior, God will richly bless you and reward you with all of your needs being met, spiritually, physically, and financially. And we'll give God the glory and the honor, and looking unto him to be the author and finisher of our faith. May God richly bless you until next time. May God bless you when we take time for Jesus. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are